Thank you, Shauna. Good morning, everybody. And Shauna is exactly right. This is definitely one of the most painful and difficult weeks that we will experience together as we talk about patience. Yes, patience. So we are in week number 4 of Fruits of the Spirit. And what we're doing is we're looking at the letters in the New Testament and how they served as a guide for the early churches that were still forming at that time, as well as future generations on how we should conduct ourselves as fellow believers. And so the instructions and the ideas passed along in these letters should cultivate us and help us as individuals to continue to grow in our desire to be more like Jesus. So we've been tracing the themes of each of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul listed in Galatians 5, to see how we can live as a part of God's new humanity. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we've looked at this graphic several times, but I'm going to put it up again, as to why Paul would compare these qualities, these human characteristics, to fruit. So go ahead and throw that graphic up. So in this graphic, we see that we are the tree. We are the tree. And in inside of us, we have all of these fruits of the Spirit, right? We have joy and peace and goodness and love and kindness and faithfulness, all of these fruits. And in order for us to be this believer of Christ, in order for us to be complete and whole, we need all of our different types of fruit to be mature fruit, because nobody wants to bite into bitter fruit, do you? Nobody wants to bite into sour fruit. Nobody wants to eat fruit that's rotten. And so what we are trying to do is cultivate inside of each and every one of us fruit that is healthy, fruit that is good, fruit that is mature. And the only way for us to do that is for us to first ground ourselves and root ourselves in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of who He is, His characteristics. What does He look like? What does He act like? What does He say? And allowing us to really deeply root ourselves in that. And then just like any good plant should do, we need to grow towards the sun. Carrie mentioned a few weeks back about how when you put especially a plant inside and you put it next to a window, what does it do? It grows towards the sun, right? And every once in a while, if you're good with plants, you'll give that plant a good little turn, right? So that it will grow back the other direction towards the sun, so that that plant can grow up nice and straight. And just like that in our lives, we need to have that relationship with Jesus and daily be growing more and more towards the sun, both in the S-U-N and the S-O-N sense. Yes. And the way that we do that, and it says in Scripture that God would send us a helper, right? When Jesus ascended, He's like, I'm going to send you a helper to help you along the way, to find this path, to find your relationship with Jesus and have that knowledge of God. And that helper is the Holy Spirit, which is the air we breathe. It's the elements that are all around us. That Holy Spirit allows us to have the right growing conditions in order for us to be successful. And so we have to invite that Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can have that close, deep connection with Christ. So in week 1, we talked all about love, right? You guys remember love? And how agape love is, in fact, the mature fruit that we're seeking. This is the only kind of love, that agape love, that selfless love that God showed for us. It is the only type of love that will satisfy us. There's no other type of love in this world that can satisfy us, because we go out and we're looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And we can't seem to find it. We can't seem to grasp it. We can't seem to understand what love is. And at each step of our life, we experience different types of love, but it's really only until we understand agape love can we truly understand our partnership with God. In week two, we talked about joy and how joy is different than happiness. And we can only find joy when we truly trust in God. And when we trust in God, it gives us hope. And then that hope produces joy. And so the mature fruit of joy looks like our hope in God, our hope in Christ. In week three, we talked all about peace and how we only find true peace when we are in right relationship with God and with others. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find peace with others. A lot of times in our lives, we have that peace with God. We're like, God, we're good. Like, I understand. Sometimes I get frustrated because you don't do things exactly when I want you to do them. But it's okay. Like, I trust you. I trust in you. But then we still don't have that peace in our lives because we don't know how to have peace with others, others that are different from us, others who have different opinions than opinions that we have, others who are a part of the other political party that we're not a part of, right? We can't seem to find that peace because there's this inner turmoil inside of us that continues to want to fight against others who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So today I want to talk about a virtue that is often overlooked, but is crucial to our spiritual growth and our daily lives: patience. As one of the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22, patience is a reflection of God's character and an essential part of our Christian walk. See, in a world that values instant gratification, which we do, right? We expect our food to be here in 5 seconds or less. How many of you hate it when McDonald's sends you to the little spot, right? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't understand how this speeds up your process. What benefit are you getting by sending someone outside of the store to deliver my food when you could have it to me in 3 or 4 seconds, right? Like, I don't understand the whole process. And I get very frustrated, and I actually don't go there anymore because of that, right? I'm like, just let me wait in line, right? I don't get it. But we do. We value that instant gratification. We want things right now. We live in a society where we're so busy and we're so wrapped up with everything that's going on, and we put way too much on ourselves. I'm speaking to myself right now. But we put so much on ourselves that we expect everything to go really fast. And we do. We move quickly. We move fast. We find ways that we can move quicker, right? Patience can seem like a foreign concept to us. We live in a time where waiting is seen as an inconvenience and patience is often in short supply. However, as a follower of Christ, we are called to a higher standard. So in the back, we've done this every week. In the back, we have another fruit. We have some pineapple. So if you want to get up and go get you some pineapple, you're more than welcome to do so. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all. It's part of the message. We have pineapple, and we've been using the different types of fruit to kind of represent some of the fruits of the Spirit that we have. And this virtue that we've been discussing patience, right? So why are we comparing pineapples to patience? Well, I have a video for you. Let's check this out.
So how long does it take for a pineapple to grow? Well, this depends on whether it's indoors or outdoors, along with the method used to root the plant and the planting zone. As a general rule, it will take anywhere from 16 to 24 months to begin seeing fruits. Under what a pineapple considers normal conditions, in a tropical area outdoors, you may see fruit as soon as 16 months. This is often the case in places like Hawaii. But if you're growing it indoors in a place like Florida, it can take as long as 24 months. If you're attempting to grow it in a place like southern Illinois, expect a much longer flowering and fruiting period, often more than 24 months. The long duration in which for them to grow is because it takes 200 flowers to develop into one fruit. That means every segment you see on the skin of a pineapple was once a flower. cool, right?
24 months to see a fruit. The fruit that you're eating in the back, that's two pineapples, right? So that took someone, what, 48 months to grow? Well, that isn't math, right? You could have two different plants. I'm sure they grew that quicker than 24 months. But it does take a very long time to produce that fruit. It takes over 200 flowers to produce one single pineapple. If we're comparing that to, say, strawberries or raspberries, it only takes 60 to 90 days for those fruits to grow, flower, and produce fruit. 60 to 90 days versus 24 months. See, in order for it to be successful, in order for us to be successful in growing a pineapple, it takes time, it takes patience, and it takes the right growing conditions. Not to mention, once you're ready to slice up the pineapple, it takes a little patience to get through that hard, pokey outer shell before you can enjoy the yummy fruit inside, right? Forbearance or patience is not just about waiting, but how we wait. It's about enduring trials with a spirit of hope and trusting God's timing. It's about finding the right growing conditions, the right environment for this fruit to grow and mature in our lives. See, patience is an active, dynamic quality that requires strength, faith, and perseverance. Consider God's patience with us, right? Throughout the Bible, we see countless examples of people in the Bible who mess up, who do the wrong thing, who make the wrong choices. And despite their failures and flaws, despite our failures and flaws, God remains steadfast in his love for each and every one of us. He gives us time to repent, to grow, and to become more and more like him. So if God can be patient with us, how much more should we be patient with others? In James 5, 7 through 8, it encourages us and it says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near." See, just like the farmer who waits patiently for his crop to grow, enduring trials, enduring tribulations, enduring bad weather, enduring insects, right? This farmer tends to his crop and he waits patiently until just the right moment before he harvests it. And just like that, it requires us to trust in God's perfect timing and willingness and surrendering our control. And when we practice patience, we become a living testimony of God's grace and love to those around us. How many of you have ever prayed for patience? Anybody? Two of you, three of you maybe, right? Why is that? We don't. It's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? It's a dangerous prayer. Now think about this, like we've all prayed for more love, we've all prayed for more self-control, or like, "God, help me not eat so much junk food," right? We've prayed for all of these fruits that we see in this scripture, but oftentimes we don't pray for patience. Why? Because we're scared of what's going to happen next, because inevitably there will be some kind of trial, some kind of tribulation that's going to come your way that's going to require patience. And we don't want that. We don't. Why? Because we're afraid of what God might test us with. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Abraham, and there's several chapters to this story, so I'm going to kind of sum everything up for you today. It starts in Genesis 15, and we see that Abraham is frustrated with God. He's frustrated. Why? Because he did not have any children to pass on his legacy. He didn't have any. And it's not like today's world where it's like, well, we don't have any kids, so big, you know, big deal. Like, my stuff's going to go to charity or my stuff's going to go wherever. Back then, it was a big deal. If you didn't have any children, then the person that's taking your stuff or the person that's inheriting your legacy might be one of your servants or it might be a distant relative, right? But you wanted your legacy to be carried on. You wanted your legacy to continue out through generations. And so Abraham is fighting with God and he's frustrated. But God promises him, he promises him that not only will he have a child, but that he would become the father of many nations. Here's the problem. Abraham and his wife, Sarai, are an old man and an old woman. They're nearly 90 years old. 90. But here's the problem. Abraham and Sarah were not patient with God. They were not. Because they knew that their time was running out. And they knew they wanted to pass their legacy on to somebody. So, what did Abraham do? Well, Sarah gives permission to Abraham to take one of the servants and conceive a son. You see, this isn't what God had promised him. Abraham was taking this situation into his own hands. And the son's name is Ishmael. And without going into too many details about Ishmael, he will go on to cause many, many problems. In fact, one of the scriptures says that Ishmael was as wild as a donkey, right? But he causes so many problems. Why? Because Abraham couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. He knew that he had to pass on his legacy somehow, and their solution was to force it. To force it, to come up with their own solution and to force their hand, which was not God's intention. However, God was still faithful to Abraham. We see in Genesis chapter 17 when Abraham was 99 years old. God meets with him and he says that he's going to have a son with his wife, Sarah, who was nearly 90. And this was Abraham's response to God, Genesis 17, 17. Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90. He scoffs at the idea. He's like, there's no way, God. Like I've already taken care of the situation. I've already taken care of the problem. I already have a son. Everything is good to go, God. I don't understand why you're doing this now, right? But Sarah does have a son whose name is Isaac, who would become a part of the line of Israel that would give us our Savior Jesus. And even though Abraham was not patient with God, God was patient with Abraham and delivered on his promises. It just wasn't in Abraham's timing. Abraham tried to force things to happen, but it only caused more heartache and chaos in his own world. You see, if Abraham had been patient, he would have seen what God's true plan really was for his life. Now, hopefully you and I will not have to wait 99 years to see what God's promises are in our lives, to see what God's plan is in our lives. But we do have to understand that God does not always deliver his promises in our own timing. And so what do we have to do in the meantime? We have to be patient. You see, sometimes we have to endure through trials and tribulations. And if we try to force things to happen in our own will, it will only cause more problems and more chaos in our own world. We have to learn to wait on God. Romans 5:1-4 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, sometimes those situations in our lives, those trials, those tribulations, those hard things that come into our lives, sometimes those things are there for a reason. Sometimes those things are there so that we can learn how to endure. And if we have perseverance, it produces in us good character. And that good character produces hope. And what did I say earlier that hope produced? Joy. Right? And so in us learning how to be patient with God in our situations, in our lives, the more we learn how to be patient, the more our character builds and grows and allows us to be who God truly wants us to be. And when we become that person, it produces joy inside of us. You see, the trials that produce perseverance, which increase our capacity to endure or have forbearance or patience. In other words, the more we practice patience, the more patience we will have. Just like everything else in our lives, right? When I first started learning how to play guitar, I had to learn some chords. I had to learn some strumming patterns. I had to learn a little bit of music theory. And guess what? It didn't happen overnight. No, it took years and years and years of patience and practice and enduring blisters and, you know, bad fingers and all these things. But what it produced in me was the ability to play an instrument. I had to be patient with it. And just like that, our ability to be patient, not only with God, but with others, comes through practice. We have to practice our patience. However, we're not just called to practice patience with God. We're also called to practice patience with others. This is where it gets tricky, right? This is where it gets hard. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because it's easy sometimes to practice patience with God. It's like, okay, God, I'm a little frustrated. I'm a little flustered. But God, you got this. I understand. Like, it's in your perfect timing and your perfect will. Like, you're going to do the things that you want to do in my life. And I get it. But when it comes to others, that's difficult. There's a story in Matthew where a man brings a boy before Jesus who had been having seizures. This boy had been having seizures for years and years, and the doctors couldn't figure it out. And so first the man brings this boy to the disciples, and the disciples start praying for this boy, but the boy doesn't receive any healing. They couldn't do anything about it. And so the man takes the boy to Jesus, and this is Jesus' response to the disciples in this moment, Matthew 17:17-18. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed in that moment. Sounds like Jesus may have been a little short with the disciples. It sounds like Jesus in this moment wasn't very patient with them, because over and over and over and over and over and over again, Jesus had tried to get the disciples to understand that they had this power, they had this ability, that they could heal just like he could heal. And all that it would take would be a grain of a mustard seed of faith for them to heal. And yet the disciples still couldn't understand what that faith looked like. He was frustrated, right? But what did he go on to do? He was patient with them. He continued to teach them. He continued to guide them. He continued his relationship with the disciples until they understood what his purpose was. I remember a while back, someone came to me and they were really, really frustrated with another individual, like really frustrated, right? And they're like, I don't understand, like they do this and they do this and it really upsets me. And so as I'm talking to this individual and they're frustrated about this other person, I started kind of laughing just a little bit because I knew both individuals really well, right? In fact, I knew both individuals so well, I'd had them both take the Enneagram at one point. If you're not familiar with what the Enneagram is, it's like this personality profile test that tells you kind of what your personality is, but then the Enneagram goes a step further and talks about like healthy versions of yourself and unhealthy versions of yourself and how to work on yourself. It's really cool. If you've never done it, you should do it. But what's funny is both of these individuals had the exact same Enneagram number. In other words, their personalities were actually a lot alike, right? So you would think that if your personality is similar to someone else's, that it would make it really easy to get along with them because you understand the other person, and you might have a little bit more patience for somebody that you understand. But you see, the problem is that one person was a healthy version of their number, and the other person was an unhealthy version of their number. And the thing that was frustrating the healthy person so much about the unhealthy person was the fact that they knew what they could be if they were healthy. They knew what that individual could accomplish and what that individual could do if they were a healthy version of themselves. What frustrated the healthy person was at one point in their life, they were unhealthy. They made those same mistakes. They did those things that frustrated other people, but they had come out of that, and this healthy person couldn't understand why this unhealthy person couldn't lift themselves up out of the situation. And when I let the healthy person know what was going on, I said, hey, by the way, you're both the same Enneagram number. They were like, whoa. Right? It was like this light bulb came on and it was like, I can help this person get out of this situation because I was in this situation. Ironically enough, the unhealthy person was also frustrated with the healthy person. Why? Because when they looked at the healthy person, they knew that they could be that person, but they weren't, and they wanted what that healthy person had. You see, patience plays a vital role in our relationships. It allows us to bear with one another, to forgive, and to show grace. Here's the key. Patience. It helps us listen more. It helps us speak less. And it helps us to respond with kindness instead of anger. And in a community of believers, patience strengthens our bonds and fosters unity. You see, in times of trial, patience enables us to endure without losing hope. And it's in these moments that our faith is tested and refined. See, by being patient, we demonstrate our trust in God's sovereignty and his plan for our lives. Here in just a second, the band's going to come back up and we're going to do one more song. I've got one more scripture for you, but before I go any further, when we talk about relationships, when we talk about patience with one another, when we talk about all these things, it's okay. It's okay to feel that frustration. It's okay to feel that anger because sometimes there are things that people do to us that just aren't okay, right? It's just not okay. It's just not okay if someone's running over you. It's not okay if they're rude. It's not okay. But it's how we respond in those moments that make the difference. It's who we are as an individual that makes a difference. Because I can promise you, if you can find a way to be patient with a difficult person, if you can find it in your heart to trust God enough to be patient with someone who you dislike, the more patient you are with them, the more frustrated they're going to get, right? I can respond in anger, and in a moment we can have that anger between us, and we can resent one another. But I can promise you in the long game, it's going to frustrate them a lot more if you're patient with them. And eventually, they'll realize, hey, this person's different. This person's not responding in a way that I want them to respond. I want them to be angry with me. I want to fight. I want to have this moment where we scream and yell at each other. And yet, for whatever reason, this person is enduring my anger. Wait a minute. Maybe the problem isn't them. Maybe the problem is me. And in that moment, they can have that self-realization of, wow, that person is incredible, and I want to be more like them. And if we're more like Christ, if we have that mature fruit inside of us, if we have that ability to endure and to give grace and to give patience to individuals, I can promise you, because I've seen it happen so many times, people's hearts will change. It always amazes me with people who have been involved in situations where they've been drug users in the past. And they've come out of these situations and they've allowed themselves to get free from drugs or from alcohol. And when they do that, there's this amazing thing that happens where their capacity for grace, their capacity for patience, their capacity to endure difficult people increases significantly. I've watched this time and time again, where I see someone who was once involved in addiction who now can endure these crazy, difficult people coming out of a messy situation. And I was thinking about this one day. I was like, God, why is that? Like, why do these people have so much patience for people? Like, how is it that they have so much grace for people? How do they have this in their lives? And it's simple. It's because God had grace for them when they were in those hard situations. More grace than you and I have ever experienced in our lives. We've never been through those situations. We've never been involved in addiction, or at least I think most of you haven't, right? We've lived these lives and we've been going along, and God's had patience for us before, but not quite like the grace that he gives those that are in addiction, right? Because he continues to love them, he continues to seek after them, he continues to want their hearts. And time again, they turn away from God. They turn from him, and they continue down a path of addiction. But when they get out of those situations, they realize the grace that not only God had for them, but for those who helped them out of those situations had for them. And it produces this amazing, mature fruit in their lives of patience. Where time and time again, people fall and fail. People that you and I would write off in a heartbeat because we're like, I told them how to fix their problems and they didn't do it. They just continue to do the same things over and over and over again. I'm done. I've given you my advice. But no, these people, they seek after them. They continue to want to have their hearts. They continue just like God does with us. Their capacity for patience and grace for others is like nothing I've ever seen before. And it's because they've experienced it in their own lives. Band, you can come on up. In Romans 12:12, it says this: rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be consistent in prayer. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice when things are good. Be happy when things are good. be patient in tribulation. When things get hard, be patient. Be patient. Because those tribulations are going to produce things in your life that you never thought you could possess. And be constant in prayer. Have that connection with God. That's how we get to have more patience. So we're going to do something kind of dangerous today. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with patience. And let us strive to be patient with ourselves and with others and with God's timing. And as we grow in peace and patience, we will also find peace, joy, and a deeper connection with God. May we always remember that patience is not a passive waiting, but an active, hopeful endurance rooted in our faith in God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we're thankful that you had grace and that you had patience for us. Through all of our mistakes, through all of our wrongdoings, through all of our hate, through all of our rebellion, God, you are patient. Why? Because you wanted our hearts. And you sought after us. You chased after us. And God, even when we ran, even when we tried to run away and we tried to get away, God, you pursued us until we drew closer to you. And so now, as believers in you, I pray that we would begin to run to you, God, that we would pursue you, that our hearts would long to have connection with you. Because, God, we pray a dangerous prayer today, but through the Holy Spirit, I pray for patience. I pray, God, that in our day-to-day lives, that you would help our fruit to grow, that you would help our patience to grow, that you would help our grace to grow, not only in our relationship with you, but in our relationship with others. Even those that we can't stand, even those that we find difficult to deal with, even those that have same personalities as us that frustrate us. God, I pray today that you would allow us to find patience in every situation. Because I believe, God, that patience is the very thing that this world needs. Patience, more than just about anything else, except for maybe love, will show others your true character and will show that we are followers of Christ. So God, maybe don't make the trials and the tribulations so difficult in our lives for us to learn how to have patience. But God, do allow that to grow in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. Send that Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us down the paths that we need to walk down in order to fully understand what patience, what forbearance truly looks like in today's world. Help us to seek examples of your peace and your patience throughout Scripture, because we see it all over the Old Testament and the New, of moments where you had patience for us. And most of all, God, in our hearts, continue to guide us, continue to allow us to seek you. And it's all this we ask in your holy name.